We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. It's 4:15. And the quarters are set at the World Cup. How about your boy Ronaldo coming off the bench today? And they subbed him in late when the game was over. I think it was 4-1 or 5-1. There's no way he wanted to go into the game.
No.
I was talking to JP about that. And he's like, what is the deal with him? Is he telling me he's not good enough? He's just old, too old.
I think that's a part of it. He's nowhere near as good as he was, clearly.
Right.
And he was talking smack about getting subbed out of the last game, and the manager blew up on him and lit him up publicly. And I think basically gave him a little jab. And guess what? The team went out there. The guy who replaced him had a hat trick.
Good for the manager.
Yeah. Sorry, pal. Like, he's the greatest player in Portuguese history, and it's not even up for debate. A legend. In Portugal, and the manager's like, we don't care.
Dude, he's got $215 million million Instagram followers, and the guy just said, shut your mouth and sit on the bench.
And they went out and won big. They smoked
perfect
Switzerland.
And but also, I mean, Ronaldo, where's his head at? I mean, isn't he on his way out the door?
Yeah, well, he got himself out of United before he got to Qatar. Remember, right. He did that sit-down with Piers Morgan, lit that place on fire on the way out.
I think he's at the... When you're at the end,
he's just an instigator.
But you just don't care.
Yeah, he's got that vibe. He's like a senior citizen, and he just doesn't care.
You get to a point where you're like, I don't care what carnage I leave behind me. I'm going to shoot from the hip. And, you know, the memes on Twitter and Instagram and that, it's old man yelling at the clouds. It's like, is that him? He's just like, he just doesn't care.
I can't imagine it would be very difficult when you realize how important you've been your whole life. Like what he's done for Portugal, right? They won the Euros. That was huge. He was at the forefront of that. He's been the king for them for 20 years. And now they're like, we don't really need you as much anymore. That's probably difficult to chew on.
Tough.
Same thing with United, right? Where he started his like where he really blossomed and took off was at United as a kid. He returns, lots of fanfare, him coming back, and they're quickly like, we don't really need you anymore. You're not that good.
Yeah,
you know, and it's probably it's tough to chew on. I would think
and it's good that he cares enough that he does make us think about it. But at the end of the day, Father Time gets you, man.
He's not going
to
win.
I'd like to see.
He's not going to win.
Next time we have a soccer analyst on, how good is he? Like, is he
like today? You're saying
today?
Yes.
How good is Ronaldo?
Where would he rank at the World Cup if you're building a team from scratch?
You're building a team today. And does he play in it? Is he a starter? Is he a bench guy? Like, I would love to hear.
I bet you our experts would say he is sniffing way on the perimeter.
Yes.
Of kind of like if you were going to name an all-star team of the best, he's not even in the second.
No, not even. Wow. Yeah, he wouldn't be on the first couple of teams picked. And again, today his replacement goes out there, scores a hat trick. Portugal cruises into the quarterfinals. And now you wonder how often he's going to play moving forward. Like, he's going to come off the bench again.
I wonder if the manager gave the old Kirk Cousins to him after the game. You'd like that?
Yeah, you should. You
like that? You like that?
In Portuguese.
Yeah.
See, I mean, you know, there's aging athletes everywhere, including your boy Tom Brady.
Man, did Tom save himself some heat with 3 minutes to go in that game.
Dude, I told you yesterday, it's like... You sit and watch. Is it going to be the old school Tom Brady where you're like, this guy's dynamic? And obviously he got the comeback win, but that took a long time. I can't watch it. It's just not good right now.
It was awful. It was an awful football game. Yeah. And, like, I feel for Andy Dalton because he chews on another loss in prime time. Like, Andy had that game, man. It was 16-3. That game was over. And, of course, Brady, with 3 minutes to go, two touchdown drives, to steal the game 17-16, and Andy Dalton's got to add to the infamy of being just a complete loser under the lights.
That's tough.
It's so tough.
See, you like that? You like that?
No. They come up short. This is what I noticed. Because I had a bunch of games on. I was watching it, but I was watching that comeback. And the minute that they won. All of a sudden, Brady was everybody's best
friend.
Shaking hands with people across. Yeah. If he loses, he walks right out that door, right?
I'll tell you what. He saved himself, and I was thinking about it watching it last night. Like, how many times he's done this throughout his career where he just he keeps everyone 6 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, like, he almost invented social distancing, like critical distancing. Like, he invented criticism distancing.
Yeah.
Because he finds a way to close, he finds a way to win, and then everyone's like, oh, forget the first 57 minutes where he was terrible.
No, he makes people leave the details of the middle, the meat of the sandwich out.
It's
like
out.
The whole game terrible. Comeback win. Hey, we
all
won.
All good, man.
That was bleeping awesome.
There it is. 44th
come from behind win in his career. Like, I saw the stats, and like, Sky, that's all that matters is he won.
But I think we've come to the conclusion that the Bucks, like, they're not
no,
good.
No, they're just terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They
they're
look
not
terrible.
Good. But what blows my mind is I keep seeing tweets about Tom Brady has plans to team up with this guy or that guy next year. What is he going to play for next year?
He is not going to stop playing, man. I'm telling you. Like, that's what, because his personal life is so public now.
Right.
And the first 57 minutes last night, you're like, this guy is in one, man.
Yeah.
And yet his only escape, the only thing he knows how to do is play football.
Yeah.
And it looked like a guy who's been through a divorce. You know, you're dealing with your kids. Yeah. I think it was one of his kids' birthdays. There's just a lot of heavy stuff hanging on the guy. But the escape is he gets to go to the stadium and play football.
Yeah.
Like, that's his escape. But that's all
about,
he knows. Like,
we just talked about a manager saying to Ronaldo, you don't have it right now. When is somebody going to give that to him?
I don't know. I mean, listen, there's some bad quarterbacks in football. Like, Baker Mayfield just got claimed. The Rams claimed him. So he's going to be a Ram because Stafford's done for the year. I'm pretty sure the Rams don't have their first-round pick, so they want to win some games, and they're going to give Baker a chance. But, like, Baker's on his third team, and he's going to keep getting opportunities. And as bad as Brady has looked at times, and last night he looked over the hill, he's still way better than, like, 10 or 12, 15 guys in the league.
Well,
that start easily, all the time.
He could have easily mailed it in. Like,
he's got passion and he still
found
wins.
A way. Like, he dialed it in.
They're going to be a playoff team.
Dude, the quarterbacks in the NFL are just like goaltenders in the NHL. There's just simply not enough quality.
Not enough good ones.
Like, how many quality? Jamie, you've got it all charted out. There's like 10. There's like 10, if that, ultra elite guys, and then the rest, everyone's scrambling to find a guy to put in the net.
Yeah.
And same as quarterbacks in the NFL.
And not everyone has your best year. Like, look at Markstrom and Shesterkin. Like, those guys haven't, like, last year won the Vezina and Vezina finalist. Markstrom Vladar played last night.
Danny Vladar.
Shesterkin got the win, but I watched that game. It was ugly. The 6-4 win, Rangers found a way. St. Louis, like, they're in one. They're in one. Like, it just, they can't find a way. But it's, you talk about quality quarterbacks, goaltenders, pitching. You know, there's,
And
you need it, but
you have to play someone there.
You have to play somebody, but you only notice it when you don't have it.
Or it's not good.
Like, how many times do we talk about Barrios? Like, all of a sudden, paying this guy a boatload, just can't get his game in order.
Can't pitch him, man. You
but
don't
at the
want
starting of
him.
The season last year, like, you liked it on paper because you're like, this guy's a stud, this guy's good, this guy's good. Like, it just, unless the guys perform, and we're seeing it in every sport.
By the way, did we ever find out if Barrios was playing Game 3 or was it chicken strips?
No, it was going to be strips.
Is that confirmed?
It was confirmed through...
By Manoah.
Manoah came out and said, we were set for Game 3.
Yeah.
Stripling was ready to go. Yeah. Like, it had been acknowledged in the clubhouse that Barrios was an option out of the bullpen.
That's outrageous, man.
It had been determined. Like, Manoah said it after the season. He's like, you know, I didn't pitch great in game one, but we felt good. Gosman gave us a good start in game two. We knew Chicken Strips was ready
is
for game three.
Is Chicken Strips coming back, or is he a UFA?
I thought he had one more year.
Yeah, I think they're going to – I think he's up for arbitration, though. So, like, they're going to have to pay something to Strips. That's a good question. Like, what his market is going to look like? Because they need – they're looking for pitching right now. Like, by all accounts, that's what they're looking for.
Dude, did you ever think – a year and a half ago, you would be in a scenario where you'd be saying, they need to get Chicken Strips. Like,
they got to make sure he's still a Blue Jay.
No, happy. They got to make sure Strips is happy.
Well, he made 3.3 last year, 3.7.
He wants 10
this year
sheets.
He's a UFA. So we'll see.
Yeah, like what, there you go. There's going to be a market for chicken strips, man. Like
a big market.
Absolutely.
10 sheets a year? That's where we're looking at?
Well, listen, based on the way he's pitched the last 2 years when he's been in there, like if Kikuchi got 3 years.
They always posted comparisons with that guy, and there were some pretty good pitchers that were making big coin that were his comparables for his body of work last year.
He should get a 3-year deal at like $15 million a year or something. Like if Kikuchi got what he got, if you're chicken strips,
that's like, what you
Kikuchi say. Kikuchi plus a dollar, please.
Wow.
You know, like at minimum, Kikuchi plus a dollar.
That's the beauty of salary disclosure. I went through it at the starting of my career. Eric Lindros basically changed the whole map for everybody because he came in and made $3 million, and Gretzky goes, hold on a second here. That's where I'm at. And Lemieux was like, I'm there, Brett Hull. But we didn't, for the longest time, people didn't know salaries. Nowadays, you're right. It's like that player plus a dollar. I'm better than that person. I'm like, it actually, you know, guys pile on each other because the marketplace, you're like, I'm better than that guy on that other team. This organization covets that player. That's the beauty of salary disclosure. Everyone knows what each other's makes, and the comparisons are through the roof.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and Ross Stripling, as you say, like he's a free agent. So like Stripling, he can do whatever he wants.
Kikuchi plus a dollar. That's his.
I don't know if it's interesting because the Jays are in on other pitchers, but Stripling would be a guy you'd think you'd want to have that conversation with.
I hate the term. It's already stuck in my head. Kikuchi plus a dollar.
Yeah.
It's Kikuchi like a plus segment a dollar. Or something. I don't know what it is. Kikuchi plus a dollar. God, you're going to hate that guy next summer.
Oh, there's just no way he's breaking camp with this team. Like, there's no. He's going to get the opportunity because they're paying
him. Roark 2.0.
Yeah, he's exactly that's exactly what he is. And Roark, I think, got starts his second year.
They gave him like five, right. And it was like time and time again, he was so bad, they finally said, that's enough, go home.
That's probably what
he had.
Kikuchi
his last
gets.
Start in Texas, and it was after that. It was a gas can, and he lasted two innings, and they said, take your gear off and go home.
Yep, that's right. So there you go. I mean, basically, you got Gausman and Manoa, who you really trust.
Yeah.
Barrios, who you know is pitching for you. And Kikuchi's going to show up to camp. They got, you know, this Tiedemann kid that apparently has got some great stuff, but he's so young. I can't imagine he's an option in April.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do you sniff around chicken strips for Kikuchi plus a dollar? You know, where do you take
that
it? I don't know.
That has to be a saying. Kikuchi plus
Kikuchi
a dollar.
Plus a dollar. That's where you start.
That's where you start.
The negotiation starts at Kikuchi plus a dollar, and then we'll start talking.
Yeah, that's if chicken strips wants to play fair, right?
A hometown discount is Kikuchi plus a dollar.
He writes on a piece of paper, Kikuchi plus one, and that's me playing fair ball right now. Right. But if I want to be a jerk, I am jumping over Kikuchi plus a dollar.
Yes.
No, you just have the mat, like your agent, have a picture of Kikuchi and a dollar on
and
top
$1
of
American.
Just slide it across.
Or a right on Kikuchi's face.
A stapled American dollar on Kikuchi's face. And go.
That would be my negotiation. I would print off a picture of Kikuchi and just slide it over to Ross Atkins and say, do you see that guy right there?
Yeah.
I want more.
Plus a dollar.
A U.S. or a loony on top of it.
A loony.
A loony on Kikuchi.
Yeah. $1.33 with exchange.
Exchange rate.
Or $1.35. We'll round up. Man. We don't do pennies.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him a Kikuchi and $1.35. A quarter, a dime, and a loony, and a picture of Kikuchi.
I would say I'll take what Kikuchi gets this year, and I'll sign a 1-year deal, and every bad starts he has, my next year's salary goes up $1 million.
Right.
And he'll be making $45 million a year.
Yeah, he'll be making more than Verlander.
What if he comes back and has a resurgence?
Kikuchi?
Yes.
I guess anything's possible.
We'll put him in Jerry's tomorrow.
Yeah, positive thinking.
I want. Right.
No, we're going to put Kikuchi having a positive.
A
it'll
turnaround?
Be in Jerry's tomorrow.
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
To work with him.
Yeah. Josh Lewenberg will join us later this hour on the Boston Celtics sending a message to the Raptors last night.
I want to ask.
That
you
was
just
a message.
Flat out, like, are they just?
They're just better. Yeah, Boston's just flat out.
No, but
better.
Are the Raps, like, are they just not good? Because it seems like a quality team slaps them all around all the time.
Yeah, they're a middle of the pack in the East. They're battling for position in the East. Like, they're a playoff team. They're a top 10 in the East. But they may be, they're probably, they're trending towards the play-in. That's what they're trending towards. But Boston's been doing that to a lot of teams. They're just flat out better, man. Boston's
really
good.
I'll tell you one thing about the Raps. That World Championship, that gives them a lot of, like, bulletproof material where it's like people talk about the work ethic and attention to detail.
Yeah.
And it's like that World Championship, if that didn't happen, it would be like, these guys stink, man.
Yep, it goes a long way. Well, Van Vliet's been awful recently, like shooting in particular. His numbers are staggering.
Yeah.
And he's claiming like there's a lot going on. He played the Brady card. Like, hey, there's a lot going on here. I'm dealing with a lot. And I don't know what, is it his personal life? Is it something going on with the team? We'll get into that with Lewenberg a little bit later this hour. Mike Johnson will join us, confirm or deny, still to come. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Mike Johnson in about half an hour. Leafs in Dallas playing the Stars tonight. Jason Robertson, 18 straight games with a point. Mitch Marner, 19 straight games with a point. Feels like those streaks and that battle is overshadowing the actual game. And I think it's worthy of that. I mean, these are two star players who are red hot. That's where my attention goes.
Jason Robertson, man, he's like, it's not the fastest skating. It's not the shot. Like, it doesn't have an Austin Matthews shot, but the guy's a magician. He's like Pete Davidson. It doesn't look like it's it's all there, but he's just dialed in. It's working for him.
Yes, exactly. But he's a really smart player, and he's the fact that, and I was telling a buddy this today, if he played in any Canadian market, we'd know who he was.
Absolutely.
Although, oh, no, everyone's going to know who he was. You got to know who he is now.
But also, you got to know who he is now.
Although, I will say one thing. Kyle Connor scored the quietest 40. Did he not last year?
Yes.
But Kyle Connor's a really good player.
Yep.
But Winnipeg didn't make the playoffs, so that was, you know, overshadowed or whatever. But Kyle Connor, I think, is close to being, if he's not a star player, close to it.
Oh, yeah.
40 goal score.
Yeah,
but that was
sure.
a quiet 40 last year.
Yeah,
Robertson had a quiet 40 in Dallas, which
that's right.
isn't a traditional, we'll call it, hockey market.
No, it's not. Yeah, if you're in Texas, you're out of sight, out of mind. And Dallas has had some turnover. They've been up and down. They didn't have a great year last year. I think the story, though, again, is more about the points. Like, Robertson is clearly a pure goal scorer. He had 41.
Yeah.
He's on pace for, like, 60 this year. But, like, I've seen some publications try to trigger this debate, like, who's the better goal scorer, Robertson or Matthews? To me, that's absurd. Like, credit to Robertson, but let's not get
do
stupid
it for two
here.
Or three more years. Well,
let's not get ridiculous here.
Like,
Matthews has been the king for, like, three. Like, Ovi was the king for, like, 15 years.
Right.
And is still in the conversation, but I think he's passed the baton to Matthews the last, like, 3 years. You can't have 41 and then a good start and push Matthews out of the way.
No, you got it.
Like, that's
what you
ridiculous.
Have to do is if he wins the Rocket, then he has to be in that conversation.
Sure.
Because, but this is, we're
with
what,
Connor,
games
with
in.
Ovi, with
Connor,
Draisaitl.
Conversation. That's
yes.
the difference. Not just here.
Yeah,
it
he's
is
earned the right to be in the conversation.
In the conversation,
we're talking about the best players in the league, best goal scorers in the league. But I saw that the other day. Who's the better goal scorer, Robertson?
No, come on.
Matthew?
I mean, it's
come
silly.
On, not yet.
Silly.
Not if at all. But what he has to do is have another season plus what he did. Like, he's got to build on what he did last year.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Yes. And keep this one going. He's
yeah,
still got 60
exactly.
games left to be played, or 55 plus.
Agreed.
So more on the game tonight with Mike Johnson just after 5 o'clock. Josh Lewenberg will join us next on What's Up with Fred VanVleet. How much better is Boston than Toronto? That and more coming up. Josh will join us next. All right, Mike Johnson in about 20 minutes, confirm or deny just after 6 o'clock. Raptors were rolling that first half, and then that third quarter, man, Boston just showed up and said, we're actually going to smack you around a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're so good. They give me, like, 90s Bulls vibes, like a poor man's 90s Bulls type of vibe, where, like, Tatum's Jordan, Brown is Pippen, and Smart is, like, Dennis Rodman, different positions. But
Smart has some bite to him.
He's got some bite. He's even got the dyed hair like Rodman.
Yeah.
But the way he defends, he hits some big shots in the third quarter. Tatum, like, turned Ananobi inside out a couple times last night. You don't see that often this year.
Yeah.
Boston's just flat out better. Just flat out better. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a Raptors reporter. Here's Josh Lewenberg. That's what it looked like to me, Josh. You saw it up close and personal. But I thought that third quarter, pretty much defined the game clearly, and Boston just said that's enough. They just smacked the Raptors around.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just think they're in a class of their own in the NBA right now, and I'm not sure I would have said that a few weeks ago. Like, at one point, it looked like it was Boston and Milwaukee in the East. There were a few interesting teams in the West, and there still are, but Boston is just, I mean, they are above and beyond any other team right now, just in terms of, you mentioned the defense, and, I mean, they were the best defensive team in the NBA last year, but offensively, they've taken things to another level this year. Like, they're on a historic pace, and that's what we saw in the third quarter, where they just completely picked the Raptors defense, which was pretty good last night. They just completely picked them apart, and they took the Raptors out of their comfort zone in the third. And that's what great teams do. Great teams are able to do that. That's what separates the good teams from the great teams. And I think last night we saw a good team and we saw a great team. It's interesting because I really like Joe Mazzulla, too, by the way. I think Boston, even after the Ime Udoka situation, is well-coached. But Mazzulla, before the game, as kind of picking this up from what Brad Stevens used to do whenever he came to Toronto, was the tradition of Celtics coaches praising the Raptors, killing them with kindness. It was like 10 minutes of Mazzulla talking about how great the Raptors were before the game, and I agreed with most of it. But then he said something that kind of caught me. He said, the Raptors can win in a lot of different ways. And I thought to myself, like, wait a minute. No, they can't. They're really good when they play their style. They know who they are. They have an identity. And I think that's really good. That's more than most teams can say a quarter of the way into the season. The problem is, once you take them out of that style and out of their identity, when they're not winning the possession game and flying around defensively, creating turnovers and running, I don't think they have another year. And that was the difference for me, because Boston didn't play great last night. They weren't at their best. They found another way to win. The Raptors couldn't find another gear once they were taken out of that comfort zone.
Josh, we were talking about Fred in the commercial break. In your estimation, what's up with him? Is he slumping? Has he got stuff going on? What's the deal?
Yeah, he was a little bit cryptic today when we asked him about the slump, in that he was saying that there's a lot going on. He's not going to go down the list for us. I'm not sure if there's like something personal going on in addition to the stuff we know about, right? Like, he was sick. He missed a bunch of time with an illness that didn't really seem to go away. He had it, then he didn't have it, then he had it again. And so either he's not 100% healthy, or more likely he's still working his way back into condition and rhythm and all of that. But Nick Nurse brought something else up that was kind of interesting, in that there is also a bit of a hitch in Van Vliet's release and his mechanics. Now, the Raptors, as we know, have spent all of this money on all this fancy shooting tech. They've got the NOAA analytics system set up in their practice gym, which is a shooting tool. It's designed to measure a player's jumper, the arc, the accuracy of it. And what they've noticed here, I guess, over the last few weeks is that Van Vliet's release is a bit offline. And Nurse said this is kind of unusual, that normally when a player is dealing with fatigue or injury, that it affects the arc of the jumper. So I guess it's a little bit short, or it's a little bit long, front rim, back rim, that sort of thing. But he said it's unusual for a player with good mechanics, especially a player with great mechanics like Van Vliet, to be shooting far left or far right. But that's where they're at right now. I'm not sure that Van Vliet would have appreciated all of this information being shared, but it's cool to know, and it's good to know, because it's something I think we should be keeping an eye on if Van Vliet continues to struggle. But it sounds like they're working on it. And the one thing that I'll say about Fred, and I think he kind of made this point today too, is that he hasn't just been a great shooter over the course of his career. Historically, he's been a consistently great shooter. He's a 38% career three-point shooter. He's never shot below 36% in any season that he's been in the NBA. So he's due for some positive regression here, and I would say it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. The Raptors desperately need it from him, because they don't have a ton of reliable shooters on this roster.
With Josh Lumberger, Raptors reporter, in terms of the lineup decisions, Josh, what has surprised you more, or what will continue to surprise you possibly in the future? The idea that Koloko, you know, keeps getting starts and getting minutes, or the fact that Trent keeps coming off the bench?
Probably Koloko. I mean, I think the last time we spoke, it was Thad Young that was getting the start as the quasi five or whatever the positions are with this team. But I liked it. I thought that that was a good fit with that group. Koloko, I mean, it's sort of up and down with him, as you would expect from any rookie center, right? I mean, it's amazing to me that he's still playing as consistently as he is, considering I think we expected him to spend a lot of time with the 905. He's, outside of OG Anunoby, the only other Raptor that's played in every single game this season. And yeah, I just think there are some games, some nights, some matchups where he's overwhelmed. I was really surprised. To answer the question, I was really surprised that they went with him against Boston, a smaller team, a team where maybe you could use more firepower in the starting lineup. And it looked like that's what we were going to see. I was doing my pregame hit, my live pregame hit for TV yesterday on Trent coming off the bench. 10 minutes before the hit, we found out, oh, Trent is actually starting. So, okay, I'm calling an audible. I'm making some adjustments. And then 5 minutes later, we find out that, no, Trent actually isn't starting. It sounds like Nick Nurse had a change of heart. So I don't know that this is a permanent lineup change. Speaking to Nick yesterday, he said they're still kind of trying to figure out where Trent fits best, whether it's starting or coming off the bench. He compared it to the guy he was traded for, Norman Powell, who we know filled all kinds of roles back and forth during his years in Toronto. But with Norm, like, his numbers were always significantly better whenever he was starting. And I mean, I hate to say this for Gary Trent Jr., who probably doesn't want to be coming off the bench going forward, but hey, he's been pretty good over the last couple weeks coming off the bench. His numbers have been better. His shooting has been much better. Maybe that's just him getting his rhythm back, his confidence back, getting healthy again. Or maybe there is something to the fact that he's going up against other teams' second units, and maybe there's an advantage there. I talked to him yesterday. He also mentioned that he kind of likes spending the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game reading kind of the vibe and figuring out where he can make an impact. So as long as that's working, I've been arguing for it for a while. I think there's a lot of benefits, both for the player and for the team, to have him lead that second unit.
Josh, LeBron coming to town, how has that changed with where he is at and the Lakers are at, as opposed to maybe 7 or 8 years ago, him coming to town?
Still a big deal, though, but I mean, it's kind of weird with this Lakers team, because obviously it's not the same as LeBron coming in with those championship teams in Miami or when he was with Cleveland. He's a little bit older now, as we know, and he may not even be playing tomorrow. The Lakers are playing tonight in Cleveland, by the way, so that's a big game for LeBron. It sounds like he's going to play through a few different injuries that he's been battling, so I wouldn't be shocked if they sat him out for rest in the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow. And right now, I mean, when you talk about the Lakers, and they've actually been pretty good recently, as much as they were a punchline early in the season, they're kind of figuring things out, and it's not so much about what LeBron is doing as Anthony Davis. He's been incredible, like truly one of the best players in the NBA right now, maybe the best he's ever played. And that to me is the difference. You talk about the Lakers, like
incredible Josh or doing his job.
Street clothes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just it, is we've just been so desensitized over the years to Anthony Davis not doing what Anthony Davis should be doing, that now that he is Anthony Davis, we're like, oh wow. But that's the difference, right? Like, the roster is still the roster. Like, it's still a flawed team to me. They're still not deep. They still don't have the shooting that they should have around LeBron and Anthony Davis, but this is a superstar league. We've seen it so many times before, including with LeBron back in his younger years when he was with Cleveland. If you've got one or two really, really good players, that could take you a long way in the NBA. And you're right. Like, the last couple of years, as good as those good players were supposed to be for the Lakers, if Anthony Davis isn't giving it to you every night, or if LeBron is getting older and missing games as he has been over the last couple of years, that might not be good enough. So we'll see how long this lasts. But yeah, I think more than I'm looking forward to watching LeBron tomorrow, I'm looking forward to seeing this version of AD, because we haven't seen it much recently, especially in Toronto. He hasn't played a lot of games here because he's pretty much always hurt.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I guess tomorrow night the Lakers rolling through town, and as you said, they're in action tonight, so anything's possible with their lineup. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Thunberg, our TSN Raptors reporter.
You want to talk about a guy that's informed and works? Jay Lou.
Yeah.
He's on top of things.
Yep. On top.
He is on top of things, for sure. And, again, Raps coming off a loss that somewhat predictable last night. But tomorrow, if you get the Lakers on a back-to-back, and if LeBron doesn't play, your street clothes doesn't play, you know, you got to take advantage tomorrow. You have to. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Lightning, December 20th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf represented his country in the 2006 Olympics. Okay.
So, Russian. Didn't he say
yeah, he was born in the Soviet Union, and then I guess he was in the Olympics in 06.
Yuskevich. I'm telling you.
I don't know. It could be. You may have picked that off immediately. Called it right.
Well, that's all I think about when I think of old Leafs than Russians.
Yeah. Yuskevich.
Who was the other guy? Borchevsky?
Nikolai, yeah. Nikolai scored the 93 winner.
I'll never forget that Olympics. The captain, Mats Sundin, wins gold medal. Fergler's like, get home. You're not going to Sweden for the party. He just gave him the Heisman yeah. and said, stuff it, Ferg.
Actually, I am. Yeah. See you later.
See you when I'm back.
Get home. Don't go to the thing in Sweden.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fergie.
I can't confirm or deny if I'm coming back to Toronto.
I can't confirm or deny my orders were just...
Yeah.
Full stop by the captain.
Yeah, he basically confirmed he's going to Stockholm, and then we'll see him after. Hour two up next, Mike Johnson will join us. Leaf stars tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
So, it's kind of hard to say, but I have a problem with my package.
Well, have you heard of Felix? Felix can connect you to a doctor to medically assess erectile dysfunction with no face-to-face conversation. And, if applicable, they will deliver treatment straight to your door.
Wait, so a package for my package?
Yes, a package for your package. From Felix. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.